Ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome to the conference call interim report to second quarter 2020 of BMW AG Group. We have here Oliver Zipse, Chairman of the Board of Management of BMW AG, and Nicola Peter, Member of the Board of Management of BMW AG, in charge of finance. The gentlemen will begin by giving you an overview of business development, and after that, you have time to ask your questions. Mr. Zipse has the floor. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Recent months have been marked by the massive impact of global measures to contain COVID-19. At the BMW Group, we still achieved positive group earnings before taxes in the first half of the year. And we have always kept the company running. And all vehicle products are coming to market as planned. It is also clear, however, there remains great uncertainty because nobody knows how the situation in the individual countries and world regions will develop in the face of the corona pandemic. But you all know BMW. We're meeting responsibly the current challenges. We make realistic plans based on solid data and pursue our long-term goals with determination. This approach has always made the BMW Group reliable. Let me give you some examples. The most important trait of our global production network is flexibility. Flexibility and flexibility. We swiftly shut down production in the lockdown and restarted it just as quickly. We continue to align our production strictly to demand and are preparing ourselves for different scenarios. Secondly, we have agreed on a package of measures with the Works Council in Germany that will reduce our personal costs. Our tradition of constructive cooperation has once again proved extremely valuable, which is important for me to mention at this point. We are taking advantage of natural attrition and are also making compensation offers on a voluntary basis. For young apprentices, this year nothing will change. We are again hiring at the same high level as in the previous year. Parallel to these measures, we have fundamentally sharpened our performance program and extended it until the end of 2021. Absolute cost discipline is top priority for all divisions. We are also boosting the company's performance by fully capitalizing on market potential, optimizing product design, and creating much more efficient processes and structures. New initiatives for strategic models and efficiency in IT have also been added. Thirdly, we issued guidance in the early days of the global pandemic back in March already, which we then adjusted in early May in line with global developments. After the first 6 months of the year, our outlook remains stable on this basis. We can confirm our targets for fiscal 2020, although this does not factor in a second wave of infection or a more sustained or deeper recession in key markets. As expected, our business felt the full effects of global efforts to contain the pandemic in the second quarter. Our sales fell by a quarter from the previous year. The markets are now recovering, but at varying speeds and different levels of intensity. In China, we were once again able to deliver more vehicles to customers in the second quarter than in the same period last year, with growth of almost 17%. In Europe and the Americas, on the other hand, second quarter deliveries were significantly lower. What matters now is how robust this upward trend is and when individual markets will follow suit. In July, sales were moving in the right direction. At group level, our automotive sales posted a significant year-on-year increase for the month. However, in the comparative month of 2019, there was a model changeover for the 3 Series in China. And in Germany, there are currently positive effects from deduction and value-added tax. At this point, we're cautiously optimistic about the second half of the year. The new BMW 2 Series Gran Coupé, 4 Series Coupé, the 5 Series, the 6 Series Gran Turismo, and the iX3, along with the plug-in hybrids like the X2, 3 Series Touring, and 5 Series will all create fresh momentum. The backbone of the BMW Group has always been based on our strong cost consciousness and financial strength. We reported a profit for 44 consecutive quarters. That is why we're able to make targeted investments in our future, even during the conditions and uncertainties resulting from COVID-19. In September, we will mark the first milestone in our major Fit Future project. Research and development activities at our Munich location will be substantially expanded up to 2050. And we are also making good progress with electrification. Even with the restrictions from the coronavirus pandemic, we sold more electrified vehicles in absolute terms in the first 6 months of 2020 than in the same period last year, more than 61,600 vehicles, which represents an increase of 3.4%. In July, there was a real push. Sales of our electrified BMW and MINI models were up by more than 50% year on year. For the whole year, we're moving towards a total of 200,000 electrified vehicles. The plug-in hybrid models that BMW offers in all segments are especially popular. This shows we're on the right track. And we can already say with confidence now that we will fully meet and even outperform the European Union's CO2 target for this year by lowering our fleet emissions by more than 20%. Incentives in individual EU countries are also having a positive effect, and we continue to stand by our plans. All plug-in hybrids and all electric models will be launched as planned. The popularity of the MINI Electric has well exceeded our expectations. The BMW iX3 will follow later this year, initially for our customers in China. Our first fully electric sports activity vehicle is impressive in many respects. It boasts an electric range of over 500 kilometers, according to NEDC, and 460 kilometers in WLTP. The drivetrain we developed and produced in-house, including an electric engine without the rare earth, and the latest version of BMW Operating System 7, including over-the-air updates. We are currently hosting our electric days in Munich. Media representatives will have the chance to drive and experience our full range of electrified vehicles for themselves, including the new BMW 454e that will be available starting autumn. They can also experience our e-drive zones, and as you know, we're actively helping our customers use their plug-in hybrids in a way that's best for their environment. Our electronifative is also part of our company's new strategic direction. For me, premium and sustainability are inseparable. Our mobility, like everything else, is only justified if it is not in opposition to an intact planet as the basis of life and humanity. Exceptional products are especially desirable if they are sustainable, and we can use and consume them with a clear conscience. For this reason, we at the BMW Group will focus even more beyond our products and their attributes. How sustainable are our vehicles produced? Which raw materials do they contain, and how are those extracted? What's the environmental impact of our vehicles while customers are using them, and what happens afterwards when their service life is over? All these aspects are essential to commercial success in the future. We're designing solutions to reduce our environmental footprint in a substantial way. Let's be clear, it's a mammoth challenge that will require enormous efforts from all of us. We don't want to wait until the distant future to make a difference. It's important to me and everyone at the BMW Group that we take action here and now. We're setting ourselves highly ambitious goals for the current decade. This is a timeline we can oversee ourselves and directly take responsibility for. Sustainability and resource efficiency are anchored throughout the company with corresponding targets. This applies to all divisions, from purchasing to development and production, all the way to sales and administration. On the other hand, this also applies to our top executives. Going forward, our compensation will be tied to what we actually achieve in this area. In this way, we can take sustainability to a whole new level and make it part of the BMW mindset. We are substantially reducing CO2 throughout the entire value-added chain. We're using 2019 as the starting point. BMW has been a pioneer in many aspects of sustainability in the past. And as the board of management, we want to be measured by what we achieve. Our targets after 2030 are: in the use phase, a minus of 40% CO2 per vehicle. In production, minus 80% CO2 per vehicle. And in the supply chain, minus 20% CO2 per vehicle, reversing the trend by which CO2 would actually rise as a result of increasing e-mobility. The aim is to reduce total carbon emissions per vehicle by at least a third across all these phases. With around 2.5 million new vehicles per year, that adds up to over 40 million tons less CO2 worldwide. This makes us the first in our industry to set ourselves concrete targets for CO2 reduction throughout the entire life cycle, from the supply chain through production to the end of use phase and beyond. We will do all this in accordance with the guidelines of the globally recognized Science-Based Targets Initiative. The initiative's overall aim calculates targets on a scientific basis. Let's begin with our vehicle fleet. We will continue to expand e-mobility on a large scale. In 10 years, we aim to have delivered more than 7 million electrified vehicles to customers in total. Two-thirds of them will be fully electric. By 2023, we will have 25 electrified models in our lineup. These will include fully electric variants of the next generation BMW 7 Series, the X1 and 5 Series. Customers will also be able to choose either a plug-in hybrid or an efficient diesel or petrol engine with 48-volt technology. The power of choice will continue to be an important part of our drive towards sustainable mobility. We'll win customers over by offering options to suit their individual needs. Next, to our locations and facilities worldwide. You need to know, we have already lowered emissions per vehicle produced by more than 70% since 2006. We are the clear industry leader in this area, and we will now take it one step further. Our new goal for our own locations goes even further than limiting the increase in global temperature to 1.5 degrees. How can we achieve this? Starting this year, all BMW sites worldwide will source only green power. We are systematically applying data analytics in production, and we're expanding renewable energy sources at all our locations. This also includes green hydrogen that we'll use in logistics. We will fully offset the remaining CO2 emissions from 2021 on with appropriate certificates. Now let's take a look at the supply chain. Here you need to know is more e-mobility will automatically lead to higher CO2 emissions per vehicle in the supply chain, because producing high-voltage batteries is very energy-intensive. An increase of around 40% in CO2 in the supply chain by 2030 is inherent to the system. We don't just want to stop this. We intend to reverse this trend and reduce our supply chain's carbon footprint by 20%. In this way, we can create the most sustainable supply chain in our industry. We're also making CO2 a criterion for awarding contracts from our 60 billion euro purchasing volume. Of course, we will continue working together with our suppliers as partners in the future. Our suppliers will only use green power to produce battery cells for us. We have agreed upon that in our contracts. This measure alone will save around 10 million tons of CO2 over the next 10 years. We will gradually expand the use of green power to our component and raw material suppliers throughout the entire supply chain. In addition to these three elements of sustainability, use phase, production, and the supply chain, we will also be adding another important component. as how do we basically deal with resources and valuable raw materials. Natural resources are finite. That is why we have to use them sparingly. When we use them, we should use them at least more than once and make sure we recycle them. This requires redirecting the underlying flow of resources and closing the materials loop. Raw materials can be used much more efficiently in this way. In this context, recycling takes on a whole new relevance. Let me give you some examples of what we are doing. First, our vehicles are already 95% recyclable. We aim to increase the percentage of secondary material in our vehicles significantly by 2030. The CO2 emissions are much lower than for primary material, by a factor of 4 to 6 for aluminium. Secondly, in the case of high voltage batteries, we aim to improve the recycling rate to up to 96%, including graphite and electrolytes. Third, we already take back all used BMW high-voltage batteries worldwide, even though there's no legal requirement to do so. We're already collecting end-of-life i3 batteries at our battery storage farm at Plant Leipzig. Here, they're given a second life by buffering surplus wind power and feeding it back into the grid. And fourth, we're also piloting digital tools up to and including blockchain technology to track and verify global flows of goods. We want to be able to trace critical raw materials, in particular, all the way from the mine to the smelter. As you can see, with its new strategic direction, the BMW Group is systematically developing its business model towards a circular economy. Our efforts are focused on making our vehicles and our entire value chain the most sustainable in our industry. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the potential of becoming fully sustainable. It will be a long road ahead, but we're convinced it will be worth it. Our holistic approach puts us right on track to achieve significantly more than the 2-degree goal for limiting CO2 emissions worldwide. In the last few months, we have proven once again that even in challenging times, we're thinking well ahead for the future, a future in which individual mobility remains a crucial element in society. To this end, we continue to make targeted investments in relevant future fields and technologies. We will invest 30 billion euros in research and development up to 2025. The BMW Group currently has a high level of liquidity and good access to the capital markets and manages its costs very stringently. In this way, even under the conditions of a continuing corona pandemic, we assume overall responsibility and are a reliable partner for all our stakeholders. Thank you. Thank you. Now, Nicola Peter has the floor. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning also from me. In the second quarter, as expected, the corona crisis has had a strong impact on our business. However, because we consequently took action to secure our liquidity, we applied strict cost discipline and leveraged opportunities, for example, in China and Korea, we were able to limit the effects of the pandemic on the BMW Group. Our flexibility in all areas of the company has been particularly valuable, enabling us to continue steering the company according to demand. As previously announced, we significantly reduced inventory in the second quarter to bolster our free cash flow. As measures to contain the virus have gradually been relaxed after an almost complete lockdown, business has now stabilized somewhat as expected. The sustainability of the current recovery will depend on how infection rates continue to develop, the political response, and the resulting economic impact. Development in the markets around the world varies greatly. In China, the market has been developing better than expected. The same goes for Korea. In Germany, too, markets are seeing a slight recovery. We are therefore on track to meet our targets for the year, as planned. Against this backdrop, we are cautiously optimistic about the second half of the year. However, We will continue to monitor the situation very closely so we can respond quickly and flexibly if needed to what remains a highly volatile situation. Our outlook does not currently factor in any renewed deterioration of the situation or a possible second wave of infection and containment measures. Ladies and gentlemen, let us now turn to the financial figures for the group. After starting out in January with a strong product and market momentum, first quarter earnings were dampened by the situation emerging in China. In the second quarter, business in China bounced back. But by then, the global spread of the pandemic brought wide-ranging sales restrictions in almost all other markets. As a result, revenues for the first half year fell to 43.23 billion euros. Thanks to swift and systematic corrective action, group earnings before tax for the first half year reached almost plus 500 million euros despite the challenging conditions. With sales suspended for nearly 2 months in many key markets, the total for the quarter was minus 300 million euros. The group EBT margin was plus 1.2% for the first half of the year and minus 1.5% for the second quarter. As I already mentioned, the main influencing factor was the temporary closure of retail outlets and the resulting loss of vehicle and after-sales business. Provisions for residual value and credit risks were also adjusted to reflect the current volatility. What also affects Group EBT are the high expenses for our successful electro initiative. On the other hand, a strong product mix and better pricing from our young model lineup produced a positive effect. We were also able to lower personnel costs and communication and marketing costs. Our performance program played an important part in managing this unprecedented situation. We're benefiting now from the important work done over the past 3 years, which allows us to act effectively and efficiently. The performance program also gives us the leeway to continue systematically investing in the future during these challenging times. Our focus is clearly on the topics that are most important to us, like emission-free drivetrains, sustainable mobility, and autonomous driving. We are mainly concentrating on market launches for fully electric models like the BMW iX3 in 2020 and the i4 and iNext in 2021. In addition, we're also launching new plug-in hybrid models such as the 3 Series and the 5 Series Touring. We are also continuing to make upfront investments for our next generation of electric modules. The BMW Group's R&D ratio for the first half year was 6.6%. This slight increase from last year reflects lower revenues due to Corona. In view of the current situation, we have adjusted, prioritized, and focused our investment activities. We will continue to pursue future projects to leverage and expand our competitive edge. Capital expenditure for the first half year totaled around 1.48 billion euros. The CAPEX ratio, therefore, decreased to 3.4%. Capital expenditure for property, plant, and equipment for the full year will be below 4 billion euros. The financial result for the second quarter increased to 366 million euros, mainly thanks to a strong performance by our Chinese joint venture BBA on both volume and pricing. The sale of the shares in HERE to the Mitsubishi Corporation and NTTC also had a positive effect. The financial result for the year to the end of June was minus 211 million euros. The positive appreciation effect from pooling our mobility services with Daimler in 2019 negatively impacted the year-on-year comparison. tailwinds from fair value gains recognized on marketable securities in the second quarter could not fully offset the headwinds from lower interest rates in the US in the first quarter in particular. A word about intersegment eliminations, which at plus 1.3 billion euros were significantly higher in the first 6 months than last year. About the background, in intersegment eliminations, profits earned in the automotive segment from leased vehicles are taken back at the time of sale and prorated over the term of the leasing contract. The decline in new leasing business caused by the corona crisis had a positive effect in the intersegment eliminations, since margin realizations from previous years exceeds margin eliminations from new business in 2020. Ladies and gentlemen, let's move on to the individual segments. In the automotive segment, vehicle sales for the first half year decreased by 23% overall to just under 963,000 units. At the same time, we're seeing a positive development in China, where our second quarter sales were already higher year on year. We also saw the first signs of recovery worldwide in June and July. With restrictions on sales during the first 6 months, revenues in the automotive segment totaled 32.87 billion euros. The figure for the second quarter was 14.88 billion euros. Thanks to the strong model mix and better pricing, revenues decreased at a lower rate than sales. As expected, the operating result totaled at minus 1.33 billion euros for the year to the end of June and minus 1.55 billion euros for the second quarter. This mainly reflects the volumes lost through the temporary closure of many retail outlets, especially between March and May. Additionally, provisions for residual value risks in a three-digit million amount had an impact on earnings. However, tailwinds from lower personnel costs and selling expenses, as well as ongoing efficiency programs, helped stabilize earnings. Despite an EBIT margin of minus 4% for the first half of the year, we are on course to meet our guidance of 0 to 3% for the full year as planned. Compared with the previous year, the financial result benefited from two effects in the second quarter. On the one hand, BBA contributed 176 million euros more to earnings than in the same quarter of last year. Additionally, the sale of shares in the mapping service here to Mitsubishi and NTT also had a positive valuation effect. Ladies and gentlemen, let's now take a look at free cash flow in the automotive segment. This stood at almost minus 0.3 billion euros in the second quarter, mainly due to the decrease in pre-tax earnings. We were able to bolster free cash flow in the second quarter by consistently managing working capital and especially by significantly reducing inventory. We expect to report positive numbers again in the third and fourth quarters and to continue steadily improving. We have already taken effective measures to achieve this. Over the coming months, we will set all levers in motion to get our free cash flow for the full year back to positive territory despite all the challenges. Not included in the free cash flow are possible payments related to the antitrust provisions. Overall, our liquidity position remains very good. By the end of June, group liquidity had decreased to 21.7 billion euros. This gives us the liquidity reserves we need to remain flexible and able to take action at all times if the situation should deteriorate. If the situation continues to stabilize, group liquidity will return to pre-crisis levels by the end of the year. Compared with our competitors, we continue to benefit from attractive refinancing conditions thanks to our good credit ratings, even in these highly volatile times, and retain the confidence of the capital markets. Ladies and gentlemen, let's move on to the financial services segment, which was also impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic in the second quarter. A total of around 804,000 new financing and leasing contracts were concluded with retail customers in the first half of 2020, a decrease of 17.2% year-on-year. The total portfolio of 5.5 million retail contracts was at the same level as at the start of the year. Due to the slump in demand caused by the pandemic and higher risk provisioning, in light of the worldwide slowdown of the economy in the second quarter, segment earnings before tax for the first half year decreased significantly as expected to 581 million euros. We constantly monitor the development of all the main business risks. Based on current assessments, we are appropriately hedged against residual value and credit risks. Let's turn now to the motorcycle segment, which also felt the impact of the coronavirus pandemic. Here, however, we did see a slight seasonal catch-up effect in the second quarter after a number of European markets gradually reopened. Despite temporary retail closures, a total of around 77,000 motorcycles were delivered to customers in the first half of the year. The segment reported an operating result of 65 million euros and an EBIT margin of 6.0%. Ladies and gentlemen, let's now take a look at our guidance for the year. Our forecast still assumes the economic environment will stabilize slightly over the course of the third quarter. Moreover, our outlook does not factor in the possible impact of a rise in infections of COVID-19 and containment measures. The same applies to the risk of production stoppages resulting from local coronavirus outbreaks near plant sites or a possible economic downturn. A possible economic downturn in China due to recession in other regions of the world is also not taken into account here. Supply disruptions from more intense competition also pose a risk for our guidance. The automobile markets are only recovering slowly. Despite the current signs of recovery, we expect to see a significant decline in the premium segment of almost 20% this year. We are therefore still assuming that global vehicle sales at the BMW Group will be significantly lower in 2020 than last year. In the automotive segment, we still expect the EBIT margin to be within the range of 0 and 3%. Deliveries in the motorcycle segment are likely to decrease significantly during the forecast period, with an EBIT margin of between 3 and 5%. On the financial services side, we anticipate a moderate decrease in return on equity, mainly due to the decline in new business and an increase in risk provisioning. Group earnings before tax will remain well below last year's figure. Ladies and gentlemen, we are cautiously optimistic about the second half of the year. Thanks to our liquidity situation, thanks to our good credit ratings and immediate action, we have an excellent basis there. We have good access to capital markets, secure our operational capabilities at all times. Our focus is on safeguarding earnings and stabilizing free cash flow further. Over the coming months, we will set all levers in motion to get our free cash flow for the full year back to positive territory. As mentioned before, possible payments related to antitrust allegations by the EU Commission are not included in this estimate. To achieve this, we have set many measures in motion, some of which have already had an impact in the second quarter. This includes, for example, the systematic management of our vehicle inventory. We will see further efficiency gains in the second half of the year as we intensify and extend our performance program. Absolute cost discipline and fully leveraging the opportunities presented remain a clear focus in all areas of the company in the second half of the year. This will pave the way for us to meet our targets for the year as planned. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Peter, ladies and gentlemen, colleagues. We're now ready to take your questions. Would the colleagues please provide the technical information for the conference? Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, push the keys 0 and 1 on your telephone. Your questions will be taken in the order received. If you're listening via the receiver, we would like to ask you to also ask your questions by picking up the receiver. A moment for the first question, please. First question, Sachgau from Bloomberg News. Good morning. Just one question for you this morning, probably for Mr. Peter. Question is, your net cash flow in the first 6 months decreased by a third, despite the second quarter. My question, if the second half of the year does not show the recovery you expect, what does it mean for your net cash position, and do you have the possibility to take other measures in case it comes worse than you expect? Thank you. Mr. Peter, please. Well, Mr. Sachgau, you've heard our position or seen what our position is end of the first 6 months. The clear directive is, as I said, that based on the measures we have planned to take in the second half of the year in terms of free cash flow, we want to get back on positive territory, especially based on our assumptions, based on improvement of operative earnings. Thank you. Next question, please. Markus Clausen from Dow Jones. Good morning. Thank you. My first question, the austerity program. Mr. Zipse, you said that you sharpened this program. My question, is it sufficient currently? I mean, some analysts complain that, in fact, BMW would have to do more and be stricter in terms of their savings, also in view of their competitors. Second question, e-models by 2023. You're planning 25 new models. How about the period after that? And wouldn't you actually have to modify your plans in order to follow the or do justice to the trend that has emerged, namely that demand is going straight up? And my last question, the platform, the discussion, there's a never-ending discussion about demands for a purely electric platform that BMW should introduce like their competitors. Are you not making any considerations in that respect? Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Clausen. I'd say we'll begin with the austerity program and possibly further measures with Mr. Peter and then Mr. Zipse. Mr. Peter first. Well, Mr. Clausen, we're not about just making announcements. We want to take effective measures in our program, and we're on the right track here. You've seen, if, for example, you look at investment into plant and property between 2019 and what we've given you as an outlook for 2020, there's less than 4 billion, and that's a significant reduction. which is then also will be reflected in depreciations in the coming years. Then personnel measures, if you look at that, we have given a pretty clear guidance as to what we want to achieve by the end of 2021. Less than 120,000 headcount, so that's a reduction by about 6,000 compared to what we had end of 2019. And we're making progress here with our programs, and as part of our performance program, we have initiated further measures which obviously target vehicle projects, but also topics such as how can IT become more efficient or be used more efficiently, and how, for example, can areas we have available within the company be utilized more efficiently. These are just some examples I can give you here. Thank you. Second part of your question that related to e-mobility and further models after 2023 and then a possible e-architecture. Mr. Zipse. Well, Mr. Clausen, thanks for your question. Let me say something more general. You made reference to others. Well, if everybody does the same thing, how can you then be different as an individual manufacturer? And for many years, we have been pursuing our own path, which we've been doing quite successfully. Just look at the current applications for environmental bonuses. BMW is way ahead here. And you can't achieve that by just coming up with a short-term solution. No, it was many years ago that we said, this is our thing, this is what we want to do. Currently, what we're pursuing is up to the middle of this decade, and that's not that far away. I mean, 60% of 2020 have passed already, and for the next years coming ahead, this is our path as we've described, and we think we will be very successful with that. Vehicles that will be launched next year will have very high ranges, they'll be outstanding products, and they are based on a power of choice approach, and you will see these vehicles have an outstanding substance. So that's the path we're pursuing, but we're doing more. We have two vehicles, the i3 and the e-mini, available today, and this will increase sixfold. There'll be 12 vehicles on the market by end of 2023. And putting something on top of that, well, we don't think that's really reasonable nor advisable, because in addition to that, we've got 13 plug-in hybrids, which are also very successful. So launching even more vehicles along that lines, I mean, we don't really think it makes sense, because we're assuming that by 2030, about half of our vehicles will then be electrified. And if we're faster, then we'll be faster. I mean, we're quite flexible. Now, turning to your question about the platform. Platforms, you don't just make them appear out of nowhere. I mean, you get one once every decade when old platforms expire. And I think for the next few years, we have a very sound basis, and decisions have been taken over the past few years. And now these products are being launched. Of course, there are considerations after that platform. I'm talking about the time after 26, 27. Then there'll probably be a new generation also here at BMW. And of course, this will focus even stronger on e-mobility, but that's not the only driver. It's also a matter of systems architecture. It's not just being electric. It's also digitized, platform-based, and there'll be a technology leap. And we're spending a lot of thought on how that will look. And you expect us at BMW, with the approach that will be chosen, we will again be at the top of the industry. Next question, please. Hans-Rubik, Handelsblatt. Good morning, Rubik here from Handelsblatt. couple of questions from me, Mr. Zipse. The push for electromobility that we felt in July, a push more than 50%. Could you elaborate? What are the reasons for this? Are these your strong products, or is this due to the reduction of VAT or the bonus? And the other thing I'd like to know, in the first 6 months compared to 2019, the share of China in your sales structure increased to 34%. If we assume that the Chinese market will keep recovering faster than the remaining markets, so in the mid to long term, is it a problem that you're becoming more and more dependent on the Chinese market? And my third question, do you actively have to support suppliers in the Corona crisis? Do you have to, or did you have to, or are there any problems or concerns you have there? Okay, we'll begin with e-mobility, Mr. Zipse, and then Mr. Peter. Well, Mr. Rubik, we're not talking about a push, but about a pull. The markets are pulling. We're working, our capacities are fairly well utilized. We have orders coming in for plug-in hybrids and electrified models, and we're happy about that. And there's two reasons for this. The main reason is certainly that we have very attractive vehicles that our customers desire. And we've always said from 2020 on, these vehicles will be rolled out, vehicles that are not only desirable, but they also have favorable consumption, and we will reach our CO2 targets with them. What also helps in Germany, but also beyond Europe, are support programs that have been set up as part of the pandemic and the crisis. But 50%, you're not doing that against the markets. We're feeling quite a strong pull for those vehicles. Second part of the question, the share of China in the first 6 months and possible support for suppliers because of Corona. Mr. Peter, I'll begin with the third question, support for suppliers because of Corona. This is an issue which we monitored very closely, of course, not just for the locations of our sites in Europe, but also, and of course, in the US, Mexico, and China. And so far, and it shows that static programs have worked well in Germany and in other countries. Up to now, we didn't have to take any special measures in that respect. We made some payments early, but that's really just small things. Everything worked really well. Now, the share of China, I guess you need to make a more general statement here. I think we are the manufacturer who is in the best position worldwide. We have a footprint in all major geographic regions, in Europe, in the US, North America, and in Asia. Now, the share of China, logically, in the first 6 months, it increased somewhat. Why did it increase? That is because in the second quarter, as we said, China had already been out of the slump and they were able to catch up and offset the effects from February and March, while this only happened in Europe towards the end of the second quarter. We assume that the share of China will reduce somewhat again over the course of the year. Why is that? Because the recovery trend, starting from the first 6 months, which were quite weak, is a trend that we will now also see in Europe and in the United States. At least that's our assumption. Thank you. Next question, please. David McHugh, Associated Press. Good morning. The pandemic is not yet under control in the US. how do you see the development of the U.S. market in the second half of the year compared to China and Europe? Thank you, David. Mr. Zipse? Well, of course. In terms of population and health, the development is quite gives rise to great concern. We're monitoring this very closely, and we're really worried. But on the other hand, production is extremely stable. At the moment, we have a stable supply relationship with our suppliers in Mexico, but also those in the U.S. There are no lockdowns, and our largest plant in Spartanburg is running on full steam, if I may say so. And we're getting enough cars out of that. It's almost a bit of a bipolar situation. I mean, there's the health situation in the country, but this doesn't mean that we have to interrupt our delivery chains. Of course, the markets are overall weaker than they were before, although all the dealerships have reopened. I must truly say, we're taking one step at a time. We have to expect local lockdowns to happen again. But up to now, we are able to say that the market is developing relatively good, given the circumstances. And we're delivering cars into the entire world from the US, and this is working. It's really quite a robust chain. I guess that's how I'd analyze the situation. Thank you. Next question, please. Stefan Kronig, Börsen-Zeitung. Good morning, everyone. I have two questions. Just how do you see the quarter historically? This is the greatest loss in a quarter in BMW's history. Is that so? And my second question is a follow-up question with regard to personnel or headcount reduction, restructuring, and so forth. Herr Peter, are you planning to make any provisions in this quarter or the fourth quarter for severance payments and other things? Thank you, Mr. Koenig. Mr. Peter? Well, just to categorize this properly, I mean, quarterly reports, BMW has a history of more than 100 years, and we've only had quarterly reports for a certain time, only a fraction of those 100 years. And within that relatively short period, it is the highest quarterly loss. But I guess that is not very surprising, Mr. Kronick, if you just consider what happened in the markets worldwide, especially in the second quarter and in our most important sales markets, namely Europe and the US, because you know the recovery in China is only partly reflected in the automotive segment. But also, I mean, if you look at the financial result due to the good performance of BBA, that develops quite well. Well, are we planning to make provisions to pay make severance payments? Yes. We have a program that works pretty well. The agreements we've made with associates so far, we are right on track with those. They will not have to lead to additional provisions because these will still be dealt with this year. And agreements to be made in the fourth quarter, that will then lead to extra provisions of reserves. But this is something that's included in our outlook, the margin of 0 to 3%. All of this is included in it. Thank you. Next question, please. Christian Hetzner, Automotive Europe. Good morning. Thank you for allowing me to ask questions. You know, You said you're talking about investors. Could you perhaps tell us what are your plans? Do you want to maintain a blocking minority, or could you tell us what happened to the 500 million that you invested into your now? I mean, together with Daimler, since the establishment of this joint venture, I mean, 100 million has already been written off. And then a question on Brexit. Perhaps you could give us an update. What costs do you currently expect if everything happens as we expect? What are the repercussions on your business? Okay, Mr. Hetzner, these were your questions, right? Okay. Because we couldn't hear you anymore. Anyway, thank you, Mr. Peter. Let me begin with Brexit. You need to distinguish what are the costs we have in the current year in order to prepare for Brexit. This is actually at a pretty low two-digit million level or range. Now, the effects to be expected after that, well, that depends on the agreements that will be made between the United Kingdom and the countries, especially the countries into which we will export products from the UK. To us, it's important that we have close contact with the British government. Global companies such as BMW need free trade. We think free trade has made a major contribution to the development of wealth and prosperity. So we're hoping that we can put in place reasonable agreements. Then the blocking minority, you seem to know more than we do. The YourNow companies, as you know, end of 2019, we restructured them. Five units were turned into three. You also know that we're dissolving RegNow. You've probably read that in the Federal Gazette. Corresponding agreements have already been made. The other companies, especially ShareNow and FeeNow, weathered the corona crisis quite well. For this reason, together with our partner Daimler, we still support that business model and the partnership. But the two of us always said, yes, we're open. If there's further interesting investors, if investors want to become part of this, I mean, it's a platform business. And a platform business needs a broad basis. So we regularly check our options. And that's what we'll continue to do in the future. We have time for one last question. Jörn Polt, Reuters. Jörn Polt here, thank you. If I may, I have two questions. The first one, it seems to be the case still that for the overall year, you expect positive pre-tax earnings. And second question, Dingolfing. Is the plant there affected in any way by the corona outbreaks in Mumming and the nearby region? Let's begin with Dingolfing, Mr. Zipse, and then last answer by Mr. Peter on pre-tax earnings this year, or expected pre-tax earnings. Mr. Zipse, well, these two questions can indeed be answered quickly. The second question answer is no, we're not affected. And the first question, the answer is yes. We do expect positive pre-tax earnings for the group. I said it will be well below previous years, but under the circumstances given, it will be positive pre-tax earnings. So you see, both of them are optimistic, the CFO and the CEO. Well, you see, we're already positive after the first 6 months. So I believe it goes without saying. Okay, that was fantastic. Thank you again for your questions. Stay sound and healthy, everyone. Have a nice summer. We see each other again in autumn. And goodbye from Munich.